Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Earlier in the program, we talked about the Massachusetts gubernatorial primary. Martha Coakley's decision to run for governor opened up the race to replace her as attorney general. The contest between former state Senator Warren Tolman and former assistant AG Maura Healey has become the closest primary race this season.
They are two highly qualified candidates with two distinctly different views about the style and scope of the office of attorney general. We spoke with Tolman earlier this week. Today, Maura Healey joins us. She spent 7 years working in the attorney general's office, leading several areas, including the civil rights division, where she represented the state in many cases, including the Massachusetts challenge against the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. She's highlighted her court experience on the campaign trail, and for reasons you're about to hear, you probably wouldn't want to challenge her on the basketball court either. Maura Healey, welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So let me first start off with a little bit more about your bio. You're the oldest of five kids, and interestingly enough, we found out that Warren Tolman is the youngest, or the seventh of eight kids, so you've got an older and a younger person running for office here. But what did growing up in a big family as the oldest child teach you?
Well, I think that leadership is something you end up learning early on when you're the oldest of five kids. And my mom had her hands full with us. We were all born within a 9-year span. One of the reasons I think I took to sports early on was that my mom encouraged it as a way to get us outside and playing and probably out of her hair, so to speak. But you learn a lot about taking care of one another, Meghna, really. And those are certainly principles and values that my mother, who was a nurse, instilled in us, my grandparents as well. And those are principles and values that I continue to be guided by. You also learn a lot about not crying over spilled milk. Uh-huh. I can't tell you how many nights, inevitably, someone of us would knock over milk at the table.
Well, we're going to talk more about your legal career and your vision for the Office of Attorney General, but I do have to ask you about basketball, because you were a very accomplished player all the way until playing professionally in Europe. What was it about basketball in particular that you loved?
You know, I loved all sports growing up, and still do, but basketball I really, really took to, and I was a point guard from an early age. I guess that came naturally as the oldest of five. But I loved basketball. It was a great game to me. I played all the way through college and captaining the team at Harvard, and then had a chance to goof off for a few years. I was 21 when I graduated from college and had a chance to play professionally. But you know, it was great. I took a lot of lessons from sports and basketball about discipline and work ethic. I had a great experience on the campaign trail, got the endorsement of my hero, Bob Cousy, a few weeks ago. I've worn his number 14 my whole life because he was my hero. So basketball has been a great game to me.
Well, I actually have an article from 1992 here.
Oh, jeez.
From the Harvard Crimson, mm-hmm. where, as you said, you played point guard for the Crimson. It says, Maura Healey doesn't like to talk about herself. In fact, articles like this embarrass her. She'd rather be remembered for her actions, not her words. But you've left behind a legacy of action on the court. And then it goes on to talk about how you had been invited to try out for the U.S. Olympic team in 1987 when you were just a high school junior. You didn't make the team then, and you actually went and tried out for the team again in 92.
Didn't make that team either.
So I'm just wondering how you dealt with that disappointment both times.
Well, I think that, and the first time, look, I think I was 16 years old when I got invited. I think I was one of six high school kids in the country to get invited to Colorado Springs to try out for the Olympic team. So obviously it was a total thrill to get a chance to go out there and compete. Sure, I got cut after the first session, but I'll never forget that experience. And, you know, I just stayed with it and went back for trials for the Pan Am Games and trials for the Olympic team. That didn't work out for me, but, you know, getting to compete at that level against terrific athletes was just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Yeah. Well, then you went on to go to law school, and you worked at the big downtown firm WilmerHale mm-hmm. for a while, and then 7 years in the Attorney General's office. So, I mean, we could spend a lot of time just talking about all the things that you did as assistant AG, but the one thing I do want to ask you about is you were actually the person who spearheaded the state's challenge on the Defense of Marriage Act, and actually were the lawyer who argued in federal and the appellate courts
correct.
On that case. Can you just tell us what it was like to be in court and argue that particular case before the federal judges?
Well, you know, for me as a lawyer, it was an incredible privilege and opportunity. I'm proud of that case and that work. I'll tell you, looking back, though, it wasn't easy because when we started that case in 2007 and started work on it, a lot of people told me, don't try it. You're going to lose. It's too tough to take on. We had to sue a popular President Obama who was defending the law. The majority of Americans didn't support marriage equality. And the odds were really against us. So I was proud to take that fight and go to court and stand as a lawyer and argue the case twice and win. And, you know, that to me is what Massachusetts Attorney General's office is all about. We're an office that's led and led nationally. That was the first case in the country to strike down that law, and it really laid the groundwork for all the cases that have followed. So, you know, it was an incredibly exciting moment for me. And to me, that's what the work of the Attorney General is about. You're the people's lawyer. You're taking on the people's fight.
Okay, so you've led us right to what's become the heart of the race between you and Warren Tolman now, because many people see the real contest here as one between approaches to the Office of Attorney General. You know, Warren Tolman's talked a lot about his big vision about being an activist AG, essentially. The Boston Globe says you have an approach that's more about championing, the core responsibilities of the office. And so let me give listeners an example. I mean, for example, one of the things Warren Tolman wants to do is he wants to convene a major summit about sexual assault on college campuses, bringing together state leaders and Massachusetts colleges and universities. Your approach, as the Globe has recently put it, is to, quote, tune up the way the justice system handles assault through forensic investigators and improving relationships between law enforcement and schools. My question to you is, if the ultimate goals are the same, why do you think the differences in approach matter? Why is that important?
Because they go to effectiveness. I mean, Warren's idea for addressing this issue and his idea for many policy matters is to convene a meeting, hold a summit. That's just not going to be effective as Attorney General. To be an effective Attorney General, you need to do a lot more than just hold meetings. You need to be able to investigate. You need to be able to bring cases. You need to be able to take on matters and lead, like I took on, taking on the federal government over DOMA, fighting foreclosures by taking on predatory lenders and big banks, standing up to companies like Apple and making them make their technologies accessible for people with disabilities. So, you know, that to me is an activist Attorney General. That to me is leadership in the Attorney General's office. That's the track record I bring. I just think that fundamentally, you know, a lot of times my opponent talks as a Beacon Hill politician, which, you know, was his arena and where he comes from. I talk as a person with experience on the front lines, in the trenches, fighting the fights for people in this state. And it's just a different set of experiences.
It's interesting because Warren Tolman speaks about his experience in the same way that you speak about yours, though, because he told us and he's told other people that, for example, on gun violence, you know, voters have heard him talk about the fact that he wants to use fingerprint technology on guns to ensure that only approved users of those weapons can fire those guns. And he wants to do it through just straight up through the Office of Attorney General, whereas you've said you think that that's better handled legislatively. When Warren Tolman was on our show earlier this week, he said that waiting, in his words, waiting and going through the legislature was just not going to be effective. And here's what he said.
I get that people don't want to take on their NRA. I get, you know, frankly, people didn't want to take on big tobacco. But I'm willing to do it because every hour of every day, somewhere in America, a young child is injured as a result of a gun accident.
So, Maura Healey, I was wondering if I could get you to respond to that, because what really caught my attention was, you know, he's insinuating there that he thinks legislative action is not the way to, quote, take on the NRA.
Well, Warren, I think, is sort of missing the picture here. First of all, I support smart gun technology, but that's his single idea to dealing with gun violence. And I'm coming at it saying, you know what? Based on my experience as a prosecutor, based on my experience as a civil rights attorney, gun violence is a public health crisis. You better believe it. We need to deal with the root causes of violence. We need to deal with assisting police and law enforcement in cracking down on gun trafficking. We need early childhood anti-violence intervention programs. We need to destigmatize mental health and mental illness so that more people come forward who may be a danger to themselves or to others. We need to get ourselves signed up for the national database and implement this very rigorous new gun reform bill in addition to support technology. So look, I guess I come at it with a broader perspective, and I think the comprehensive solution that this problem requires. Warren comes at it with a single idea, spoken like a Beacon Hill politician, quick fix for something. What he fails to take on, okay, is that the fact that we have got in our communities, on our streets today, all these illegal guns. Kids are killing kids in our city and across this state and across this country. And so I think leadership by an attorney general requires a recognition that we need to deal with that. In terms of toughness, you know, I don't think it's about proclaiming toughness. I think it's about demonstrating that. I stood up to the federal government and President Obama. I'm not exactly afraid of standing up to anybody. And you're looking at me, you know I'm a shrimp. I'm only 5'4", and I played a tall person's game. So, you know, this isn't about who's tough enough and who's going to pound on the table the loudest. This is about who's going to bring smart leadership, smart policy, and make it happen from the Attorney General's office. And I'm the only one who has the experience in that office and who has led on issues in the office.
Yeah, but just to clarify, that you said that you took on President Obama a couple of times, and while initially that was true, if I remember correctly, the Justice Department ended up defending the Defense of Marriage Act when those cases finally made it to the Supreme Court.
Only after we beat them here in Massachusetts.
All right. So you've talked about how you think Warren Tolman's approach is that of a Beacon Hill politician's, which may not be, in your mind, effective for the Attorney General's office. But we have seen politics come into play in the AG's office. So when things do get political and here's another example. You yourself have raised questions about the civil settlement that Attorney General Martha Coakley recently reached with the Brennan Group, the lobbying firm. They agreed to pay $100,000 over 3 years to avoid civil or criminal charges. You've said that Martha Coakley didn't go far enough on that. So I guess I'm just wondering, if the tables were turned and you're running the AG's office, how do you handle moments when things do get political?
Well, I think that any actions I might take as Attorney General are going to be subject to judgment, are going to be subject to criticism. You're certainly not going to make everybody happy if you're doing your job well. And, you know, I think that I come with experience having seen public reaction to actions taken by the Attorney General's office. And, you know, my judgment and my view is you just need to do your job. And my job and my view of that office is that you're there to fight for people and do it in a smart, informed way. And, you know, I have no problem taking heat from anybody or taking criticism. I'm just, at the end of the day, going to stand up and do what I think is right for the people of Massachusetts.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering how being on the campaign trail has been for you so far, because I read that you at one time you said that less than a year ago you'd never run for office, you'd never had to ask for a vote, never raised a dollar, and that you're used to arguing your case. But maybe campaigning is about the softer art of persuasion. Are you warming to that?
Well, I got to tell you, I feel like I'm before the biggest jury of my life, you know, the voters of Massachusetts. And I've been out there making my case every day these last 11 months. And I've loved it. It is just, I've loved campaigning. I've loved getting out and meeting people, getting to know the regions and areas of our state in far deeper, richer ways. It will make me a better attorney general. It's already made me a better person, and I've learned a great deal. So, you know, I found it incredibly energizing. And you know what? You know, people say, do you get tired? And it's true. You're out there all the time. But I am so lifted by people's energy and enthusiasm. Remember, you know, I'm running against a Beacon Hill establishment, against the insiders. And, you know, I think I was viewed at the outset as sort of the upstart underdog outsider coming in. And this campaign and my campaign has been built through grassroots activism and a whole lot of volunteers and people from all walks of life across the state coming forward. And that has just lifted me and carried me. So I am energized and re-energized every day out there on the trail.
It takes me back to this 92 article from the Harvard Crimson where you were quoted as saying, "For me, the most fun are the games when the ball is in my hand. I'm trying to break presses. I'm out there leading the team and creating plays." But my last question to you is actually, I'm curious about this. What do you think is one of the most important issues that the Attorney General's office has to tackle that's actually never discussed in the media?
You know, look, I came from a couple things today just to give you an indication. There are all new forms of predatory practices out there. I've been talking about in this campaign taking on for-profit schools, which are raking it in on the backs of vulnerable students. I've been talking about advocacy for people with disabilities. I was just over touring Spalding Rehab Hospital in my neighborhood in Charlestown. Wonderful work going on there. You know, I want to lead on criminal justice reform. I want to continue to fight for women's access to reproductive health care. I think tackling health care costs is a significant issue. That is talked about, Meghna, right now in the news, and that certainly will be a role for our next attorney general. And at the end of the day, you know, using that office day in and day out to fight to protect people here in this state, making sure they get paid for the work that they do and protecting workers' rights, standing up for those who are vulnerable. I want to create a new child and youth protection division in that office because I want to make sure that kids receive the care and delivery of services they need. So I've got a lot of plans for the People's Law Firm, and I've said all along I'm looking to be the people's point guard.
Maura Healey is a civil rights attorney and Democratic candidate for attorney general. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Meghna. Terrific.
And you can go back and listen to our interview with Warren Tolman if you'd like. That's at our website, radioboston.org. And the winner of this contest will face Republican attorney John Miller in the general election in November.
And stay with us. Coming up, crime novelist Dennis Lehane strikes again with his screenplay-turned novel, The Drop. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.